last week was Easter, and Easter we had a really good time in here, and it was a time where we celebrated something that was brand new and totally different. It was unlike anything else. That event, it changed the world upside down. We talked about that. It changed the concept of what people call religion. And it moved away from religion, where it's a series of practices, into something that was a personal relationship with God. And in just three plus years, Jesus came along and he transformed a bunch of guys, the guys who were fishermen, and they were an accountant, and there was a tax collector, and there was a zealot, which is like a revolutionary-minded person, and transformed these men so much so that they left everything behind, and they went to follow Jesus, and all throughout, you know, they learned stuff along the way. They learned, and they were learning. They were getting closer, and then Jesus died, and then they thought it was all over. And then Jesus came back, and it was like, wow, you know, Jesus is back, and everything was going great. And then 40 days later, Jesus like, I'm out. And these guys were faced with a problem. So the problem that they were faced with is that there was no Bible, no New Testaments that they had in order to tell them all the things that they should do. You see, like how now we can just pick up the Bible and like, what does the Bible have to say about this? They didn't have that. Because the Bible, these guys wrote the Bible, the New Testament, they didn't have that till 50 to 60 years after the first letter got circulated. And so what happened? What they did have, however, they had a memory and knowledge. The Holy Spirit brought back to them the things that Jesus taught them. And those things that Jesus taught them was really the catalyst for the movement. It wasn't the Bible, because there wasn't one. It was their personal knowledge of the things that Jesus taught and the things that Jesus did and in that, Jesus, I love Jesus because he was the master communicator. He could take things and just sum it up into like a few words. And so he summed up all the things that we should do, or they should do, which we should do. And he summed it up into, he's like, okay, all right. If you want to know what to do, love God, Lord God, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And by the way, if you did that alone, that would have been fine. But you know, people sometimes need a little bit more. So he's like, okay, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. And he elevated that to like kind of up there, that if you're loving God with all your heart, and you got to be loving your neighbor as yourself. And in another verse, he said, love your enemies. So he gave these three do's, the things that you should do. So this is on the basis of love, and do those three things. And if you do those three things, what will happen is that your joy would be full. Your life would be full. Your life would have purpose. Your life would have meaning. Your life would have substance, and you would impact everybody around you, and their life would have meaning, their lives would have purpose, their lives would have substance. And so it's like, all right, that's cool. But he said, there are some things that you should not do. Because while those things will add into your life, if you do the things that you're not supposed to do, it will start taking away. It will take you away and take you down. And the devil likes to throw those things in there and tell you to do the things that you're not, that God told you not to do, that Jesus told you not to do, and so forth, so on. So this week, and just kind of a little bit background on where I got this kind of thought from. Every year when I plan out our sermon series, and I think about it in flows, and there are things that I want to flow into. And so right before Easter, we talked about really sharing Jesus with people, kind of get people in and pointing towards Jesus. And Easter was the resurrection, but after the resurrection, what happened? And so that was really the focus. And as I was studying and researching stuff, I came across a series that was done by North Point Church that was done, I don't know, 5 years ago or something like that. And that was kind of the basis of like, yes, that's it. And so credit to North Point Church for some of this material. Now, some of the things that I'm going to focus on is the knots, right? And my clicker is not working. Why is my clicker not working here? Yeah, I got it. You know, for you guys who can't see, you know, we had somebody who said, we're talking about the knots, and he said, it's not working. So we're going to be talking about, over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about a series of knots. The first one is fear not. The second one is, let's see, where's Sean? I'll give Sean this clicker here for him to fix this for me. The second one is, Shakira, give me that one there, sin not. The third one is worry not. The fourth one is judge not. And the fifth one is doubt not. So if you have a problem with fear, you have a problem with worry, you have a problem with sin, you have a problem with judging, and you have a problem with doubting. And Sean, let's see. Beautiful. I can make musical slides with this clicker. It's the most amazing thing that I can do. And so that's what we're going to talk about. But before we go any further, let's just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, every Sunday when I prepare, Lord, I ask two things. One, that you use me to speak your word, nothing more, nothing less. And two, that you bring people in here who need to hear the word, who benefit from hearing the word. And people online who are watching online. And so, Lord, I commit this time to you. And, Lord, I pray that you'll just minister to spirits as you've ministered to mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to talk about the first one on the list. I want to talk about fear. And fear not. And it's a topic that we bring up over and over again because as I speak with people on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, there are some things that people really I just really bother people. And one of the things that I hear all the time is people talking about, and I want to do this, but I am afraid, or I'm faced with this decision, and I don't know what to do. And so we come back from time to time, and we touch this topic in many ways. And today I want to touch it in probably a different way than you've heard before. And it's interesting that all throughout the Bible, God, you start from Genesis all the way throughout the Bible, one thing that you see all over the place is fear not. Fear not. Whether it's an angel coming in and appearing to somebody and saying, fear not, or don't be afraid, or don't be. And the reason why that is because we're hardwired to fear. We're hardwired to have fear. It's something that's built inside of us that says that when we perceive danger, whether it's real or psychological, whenever we perceive it, something triggers inside of our head, and we take a moment, it's a split second, and we decide whether we're going to fight or we're going to take flight. We're going to like stand up and face this thing head on, or are we going to get out of here? And it's natural. But what happens with many of us is that we're stuck. What's supposed to take a split second, we're stuck in that mode. And so today's topic is really about getting you unstuck from that place where you want to be. And one of the times, you know, so Jesus, you know, would talk to his disciples, and he would tell them things, and you know, and he's like, look, you're gonna have life is gonna be interesting. It's going to be tough for you. And so he was building into them. And so here's one of the times that he talked about. I'm just going to read it through, and then I'm going to point some things out for you. And this was, you know, Jesus, one time, you know, he had just finished feeding the 5,000 people, like 5,000 men, 13,000 people or so. And, you know, everybody was like, yeah, they gathered up their baskets and everything. And then right after that, in Matthew 14:22, he starts telling the story. He said, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat to go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there all alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking up, they were one of the favorite things for disciples to be. It's terrified. And they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I." I like how they translate it. He didn't say, "It's me." He's like, "It is I. It is I. And don't be afraid." Or another translation say, "It is I. Fear not." And then when he and Peter climbed into the boat, the winds died down. Now, a few things I want to point out in this passage here. I'll kind of go back to it. Notice what happened at the beginning. At the beginning of this little discourse, this six or seven verses, Jesus made the disciples get in the boat. And I was reading this, and I thought about this, and like, Jesus made the disciples. In other words, I can imagine how this played out. Imagine this played out in that the disciples are like, "Jesus, we'll help you clean up and get rid of the crowd." And he's like, "No, get in the boat." And he's like, "Oh, Jesus, we good. We'll help you." Jesus is like, "Get in the boat, man. Go to the other side of the lake." It's like, "Jesus, get in the boat." And Jesus had them go into the boat. So the fact that they were in the boat, where they were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. They were fulfilling their purpose. And Jesus says, "I have a purpose for you to get to the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee." They were doing exactly what Jesus said they were supposed to do. But while they were doing that, doing exactly what Jesus said to do. Now, the Sea of Galilee is about 6 miles across and about 13 miles long. So I did some research. In order to row across the Sea of Galilee, it would take them 2 hours. And if you go the long way, it would take you about 4 hours. Now, this was at the end of the day. It was still light when they left. So it was before it was sundown. And there's, let's say it's 5 o'clock. And they're supposed to take 2 hours to get to the other side of the lake, or 4 hours, so 7 or 9 p.m., that they're supposed to get to the other side of the lake, doing exactly what Jesus said to them. And they were out in the lake rowing and rowing and rowing, and they couldn't get anywhere because there was a headwind blowing against them. And they're rowing. I can imagine somebody would be saying, "Yo, man, we need to turn back." And somebody else is saying, "Nah, man, Jesus said to go to the other side. I'm sticking to what Jesus said." And the other one's like, "Yo, man, this is not happening." They were out there for so long that shortly before dawn, not 7 p.m., not 9 p.m., but maybe 5 o'clock in the morning, how many of you feel that you're doing the thing that God asked you to do? And you feel like you're coming against a headwind. And you feel like, "God, you told me to do this. I'm doing this. I'm in school because you told me to do this. I'm in this job because I believe that you told me to do this. I did this major because I believe you told me to do this. And I can't pass these exams. Or I come out and I'm in a dead..." Whatever it is. The second thing that I want you to know here is that Jesus saw them from all the way where he was on top of the mountaintop, so much so that he knew they were in trouble and that he decided to walk out to meet them where they are. It's not even the purpose of the whole topic of this sermon today, but I just want to point out to you that not every time that you hit adversity means that God is telling you to stop what he's told you to do. Because I believe that God has sometimes a much bigger plan, and it sounds kind of cliche, but it's actually really true, that he's going to show up in a mighty way. The second thing that I want to point out is that their solution made them scared. The solution made them scared because God sometimes shows up in a way that we don't expect God to show up, and we expect, I don't know what they expected, but they certainly didn't expect Jesus walking on the lake. Then Jesus walks up and he saves them. He gets in the boat and the winds calm down. And this happened again. There's something about Jesus telling them to go to the other side of the lake. It's like, you know, it's like in the army. You march and then you stand in line to where you march to, and then you turn around and you march back again and you stand in line again. Jesus loved to tell them to go to the other side of the lake. It's like no matter what side of the lake they're on, at the end of the day, he's like, go to the other side of the lake. And you'll see it all over the Bible. And there's a whole sermon in that about, you know, when God tells you to do something, it's like, what's the point? All right. But the other thing that I wanted to point out here is that there's another story that talks about going to the other side of the lake. And it's found in Mark, and it's found in the other Gospels also. And Mark talks about it. He says, you know, that day when evening came, he said to the disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake, like he always did. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. So they took Jesus along in the boat. But this time it wasn't only one boat. There were other boats right beside them. And so this flotilla, I don't know how many boats, they're going out into the water. And they're headed out into the water, and they're doing, and Jesus, I'll just read what happened next. It says, while they're out there, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat. In other words, the waves were so high that it was crashing into the boat. It was coming over the top of the boat. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Perfect Storm. It's kind of, in my mind, it's like one of those things like, holy smokes, it's like, we're going to drown. And so the boat was nearly swamped, which to me means that the boat was starting to fill up with water. And I like this. Well, Jesus was in the stern. He was sleeping on a cushion. I want you to think about that for a second, right? The boat's going like this and forward and backwards. Water's splashing into the boat. Everybody's bailing water out. And Jesus is chilling, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples did exactly what we would do. The teacher, don't you care if we drown? Testimony in there for many of us in this room that we're in a situation, we're in a boat, we're headed down, and we're being drowned by our debt and our bills and our relationship issues and our job issues and all that. And you're wondering, when is Jesus going to show up? You look over in your mind and you like, Jesus is sleeping. Till you finally ask. He said, God, are you ever going to come true for me in this? Don't you care if we drown? And Jesus got up. And he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet! Be still. And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Then he turned to his disciples and says, why are you so afraid? It's perfectly logical that they should be afraid, should it not? Wind's crashing in. And he said to them, do you still have no faith? I delivered you. You still have no faith. And the disciples, again, were terrified. And they asked each other, who is this? Who is this? That even the wind and the waves obey him. Their fear right there turn from their situation to recognizing that, oh my God, There's a song that's been ministering to me a lot. Just kind of woke up with it on my mind this morning. I don't really know all the words of the song, but I know one of the words that go like this. It says, and I'm paraphrasing because I'm going to get it wrong. People are going to tell me I'm wrong. Open up his mouth. God opened up his mouth and 100 billion galaxies appear. I think the name of the song is So Will I. If you get a chance to listen to that song and you listen to the words, that song blows your mind. And when you think about the God that we serve, can just look at the wave and says, quiet. Be still. It can be terrifying. But when you think that this God who can do that is fighting for you, that is an amazing, 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 amazing thing. But one of the things the disciples realized after this, and as they went on, they realized that as long as Jesus was with me, I don't need to be afraid. And how I know this is that these same disciples who all the time were terrified, when Jesus was about to be crucified, and the soldiers came and the Romans came to, and the chief priests and the high priests and all those folks came, the disciples weren't afraid to stand up to go cut off somebody's ear of the Roman army. And I want you to think about that for a second. The Roman army, you're going to go up and you're going to cut off one of the Romans' ears. That's not fear. And they were not afraid back then because they had been with Jesus. They know, all right, whenever I'm with Jesus, I'm safe. I'm with Jesus. The Romans are here. And he's the Messiah. It's about time he start doing some Messiahing. So we going to, it's, you know, to the Roman army, it's on. It's on. We going to take it out. And then Jesus puts on that the ear, and then they lead him away. And like, any second now, he needs to start doing some Messiahing. He needs to start saving. And then they realize that Jesus is going to die. And then Jesus, there was no Savior in their mind, and he died. And all of a sudden, they realize that when there is no Jesus, there's a whole lot to be afraid of. And they went and they did what normal people would do. They went and hid. And when they, you know, Peter saw what was happening, and they said, don't you know, nah, that ain't me. I never seen the dude. Because Jesus was there. But then the resurrection changed everything. And I love talking about the resurrection because it changed everything. When Jesus, 3 days later, he showed up back on the scene. They're like, they were terrified again when he showed up. But all of a sudden, Jesus was back. And then Jesus, you know, hung out with them and he ate with them and he did stuff with them. And then Jesus said to them, I'm leaving. They're like, oh no, Jesus, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? When we're with you, things are good. And Jesus says, I'm going to do one even better. I'm going to be not only with you forever, but I'm going to be in you. So you can't get away from me. You have no need to be afraid anymore, because when I was on the mountaintop and you were in the lake, there was trouble. But when you came with me, the trouble stopped. Tiffany sang to this dance of this song last week that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. And we have yet to grasp the reality of a person who speaks and 100 billion galaxies appear. And every time we see this, You can imagine Jesus like, well, why are you afraid? Don't you have any faith? I did it a billion times before. What makes you think that your situation is any different? And we always think that our situation is different. You know, well, you've never encountered this before, God. I don't know what we're going to do. And so now Luke tells us what happened, that when the Holy Spirit came in them 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, he said, these group of terrified men went and became bold, and they spoke. And it was not that they weren't afraid. They not that they didn't have knowledge of what could happen to them and what would happen to them. They were not afraid, because they knew that the one that they serve had conquered every single thing that they could be afraid of, including death. And you ask people, I was looking up the top 10 things that people are afraid of, and death is right up there. Some of the other ones are pretty funny about what people are afraid of. But it's an interesting list. If you Google top 10 reasons why people are afraid. And so they no longer, they realize that when with Jesus being inside them, there's no longer any fear of failure, because the power of Jesus is inside of them. There was no fear of man, of the people in charge, because the power of Jesus was inside of them. There was no fear of death, because they knew that, A, the one who raised Lazarus from the dead and who raised himself from the dead is sure enough able to conquer death for me. So they're like, you can kill me, but it ain't matter. Because for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. All because of the completed work of Jesus and his Spirit that he left behind and left with us when he went back to his Father's in heaven. You know, as I was kind of thinking about this, and I'm like, okay, so what? A question came to my mind, and the question like, well, is it possible to be fearless? See, I believe that everybody, it's impossible to be 100% fearless, because I believe everybody inside of them, they fear something. You may be not fearless in battle, but you fear something else. So being fearless is a situation. I believe it's impossible to be fearless in everything. But I do believe it's 100% possible to fear not. See, fearless is a state of being. To fear not is a decision. That said, that I'm aware of what is this. I'm aware of the fact, but I'm aware of who I serve and who lives within me. So even though I should be afraid, I'm going to choose not to be afraid. I'm going to fear not. And so, fear not is a decision. And that's why David could say this. And I love Psalms 23. I was talking to my son the other day. Actually, he was talking to me about Psalms 23. Man, if you ever sat down and really like recite that thing, if you ever sat down and think about Psalms 23, that you could meditate on Psalms 23 for like weeks. Because, you know, when David says, all right, he's like talking to himself like, well, the Lord is my shepherd. That's a fact. He's my shepherd. Then I'm going to decide that I'm not going to want. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to decide to fear not, because God is with me. It's a decision that each one of us make when we're facing, we're like, the question in our minds, and we talk a lot about hearing God's voice, but the question in our mind that we face every single day is that, am I going to trust God as who he says he is, and that he's got my back, and that I've heard from him, and I've gone through all the things to hear from him, or am I not? Or am I not? So the three things I want you to walk away with today, number one, whenever you face any situation, your job or your career or what's your next step, or you're sitting down thinking, you know, I believe God has called me to do this, but I want you to do number one. And I was thinking about, you know, I always try to put these things in verbs or nouns. So here's one. Number one, you better recognize. You recognize that God is always watching out for you. And you saw it in the story where he was on the mountaintop praying and he knew that they were in the middle of the lake. No matter how far away you think you are, God is always watching out for you. And just like, you know, he knows where you are in every situation. He knows where you are every moment in time. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can take that to the bank. He's like, no matter if you are in the lake and you think I'm up at the mountain, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. David got this. David spent a lot of alone time with God. And he got this. And this is one of my favorite passages. Actually, I have a ton of favorite passages, but this is one up there. Can you have like 200 favorite passages? Because I probably have that. But here's this. In Psalms 139, he says this. It's David talking. And he's reflecting. He's like, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, like, God, you and me are, we're tight. We're feeling like really close. You're there. If I'm far away from you, I'm in the depths, and I'm depressed, and I'm down here in the doldrums. You're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, even if I settle on the far side of the sea, I'm like far away from you. Even there, your right hand will guide me. And your right hand will hold me fast. You see, what's happening there is that no matter how far away from God that we stray, I'm talking about for people who are believers, I'm going to talk about that in a second. No matter how far away from God we stray, and God is like, hey, forget about me. Be here, I'm here to help you. No matter how far, even there, your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. And I tell you, when I was like preparing this week, and I sat down and I just meditated on that, I was like, wow. There was a sense of fear, but not a bad fear, not a terrified. It was a sense of awe. Snap. I serve an awesome God who is an intensely personal God. And he says, just like Moses told Joshua and the rest of the people, here's what he said told them. He says, hey, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid because of them, those are the enemies, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never, never. You know, one of the things I tell my wife all the time, if we have an argument, I says, you know, never use absolutes, because if you use absolutes, you're always wrong. But God can use absolutes, because he's absolutely God. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So oftentimes, you know, we fear the things that we shouldn't be afraid of, but oftentimes we fear the things that we should be afraid of. And God is here today this morning and says, you don't need to be afraid even when there's something to be afraid of. And if you truly want to overcome any fears, you got to start out by recognizing. But number two, you got to do something else. You got to have a fear of God. You have a fear of God. You got to recognize that God is watching over you, but you got to recognize that this awesome God is really, really for you And he is awesome, and he's powerful, and he's big, and he has power, and he's all-powerful, and he's all of that, and a bag of chips, as some people would say. Here's what he said, how Luke wrote down. He says, I tell you, my friends, there it is again, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, because after that, they can do no more. I don't know if that would make me feel better. It's just like somebody like, they're coming to kill me. He's like, don't be afraid. If they kill the body, they can't do anything else after they kill the body. I was like, thank you. But he says this, but I will show you whom you really should fear. Fear him who, after your body has killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. God is saying that you want something to really be afraid of? He said, you need to have a knowledge and respect for the awesomeness and the power of God. And this same God, who has the same power to take care of you. We'll always do that. I like the analogy that he used in this passage. He went on to say, "It's are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And just a little bit of background, sparrows are like a dime a dozen, right? Sparrows were cheap. They were like almost like, it's like just all over the place. You could find a sparrow. And he's like, you can get them for like 2 pennies. Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. So I tell you, don't be afraid, because you're worth more to him than many sparrows. And that blows my mind. And he says this here. This is, I love this. That when you fear God, here's what happens. David says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, who fear him, and he delivers them. I fear God, and a whole ton of angels sets up shop around me. Fear God. The last thing, last point. If you want to fear not, you have to take action. You have to take action, because at the end of the day, all the knowledge that you have in the world, all the recognizing of who God is, doesn't really do you anything. All the fearing of God, it's a foundation, but it doesn't do you anything. It's just head knowledge, unless you do one thing, which is to take action. Because you could say, I know God is strong. I know God is powerful. I know God is watching over me. I know God is this. I know God is that. I know God is all the above things there. And God is like, so what you gonna do about it? I'm like, well, I know it. God wants you to take action and put that fear to the side, and put your faith, replace it with your faith, and put it into action. In that same story about Jesus walking on the water, you guys know it very well, but I do want to read to you what happened, because I left out a part purposely, and I'm going to fill in that part now. Immediately Jesus said to them, take courage, as I, so they saw Jesus walking on the water, don't be afraid. And then Peter, who was in the boat, says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. All 12 of them believed that God is, Jesus was who he said he was. All 12 of them feared God, because we know that from the other passage, but only one took action and got out of the boat. There's a book that says, has a line in there, it says, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. But really, you can fear not until you decide to fear not. And you know, as I kind of wrap this up, and there are many people who I know listening online, or maybe people in here who know the first two but are struggling with the third one. They recognize, you may be one of those who recognize who God is, and you recognize that God's always watching you, and you fear God, and you're like, yeah, God, but you are afraid to take action. You're afraid to take the next step. And that could be an action. It could be a career move. It could be not only a career move, it could be a relationship that you need to commit to. And you're sitting on the edge, and it's like, God's like, all right, how long are you guys going to sit on the edge? And it's time for you to commit to this relationship, or maybe it's one that you need to stop. But whatever it is, maybe you're sitting on the edge. I always scare my sister when I stand on the edge of the stage here. And God is telling you that it's time to commit to him. And to develop a relationship with him, so he can come into you and be with you always, and you're on the edge. God is saying today, take action. Whether looking into the camera, whether it's you online, sitting on here right now listening to this, take action. It could be baptism. Take action. I'm going to tell you a story, and then I'm going to wrap. I was in Connecticut about 2 years ago, and I was driving in a back roads, and I love driving. Probably I was going a little bit faster than I should have been going, but that's not an important part of the story. I looked around, and I took my eyes off the road, and then I put it back on the road, and there was a deer in front of me. And I had never seen a deer paralyzed by fear in front of my headlights. I swerved out. I didn't hit the deer. But the thing that image stuck with me, and it still sticks with me today, that for many of us, we're sitting there paralyzed. Don't be like the deer. Get out of the road. Take action. And all of you may be struggling with belief. You're not even in the first two. And God says, I want to be real to you. God say, I want to be real to you. Just going to invite you for you to stand with us. And I just want to pray for you. But Father, I pray that if there's anybody in here who is afraid to take action, Lord, that today they will not leave without taking that action. If there's anybody in here who's struggling with belief, that they'll just ask this. God, make yourself real to me. Make yourself real to me. And Lord, push me over the step. Help me to fear not. To decide not to fear not. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, Psalm 34 says, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me and he freed me from all my fears. So I am no longer a slave to fear, because I am a child of God. He's in me. God bless you.